Have you ever absolutely panicked after you accidentally deleted a file on your computer? I know I have. It's not an issue if you've got CrashPlan Smart Recovery. Your files are just a few clicks away and can be restored in a snap. CrashPlan provides the best cloud backup solutions in the market. Visit crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. Now you can protect all your work with an unlimited backup and recovery solution. CrashPlan makes it simple to restore some or all of your data. And with unlimited version retention, CrashPlan can be your ultimate rewind button. Get unlimited computer backup for you or your business with CrashPlan Professional. CrashPlan backs up files that live on your computer and works with PC, Mac, and Linux. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
Today on the podcast, we have Haley Romero. She is a financial consultant and strategist for businesses, both big and small, tackling the financial aspects of their business so y'all can focus on what you do best. She helps you find creative and super strategic strategies and solutions so you can review where your business stands, where it's headed, and what to do next.
In today's podcast, we're going over one of our favorite things, profit and loss statements.
Numbers!
And all the things you need to do to get your business set up so you can start analyzing the financial side of your business, what mistakes you might be making, and how you can start paying more attention to this very important piece of your business.
Plus, we give you some free solutions on how to make it all happen. Stay tuned!
Today on the podcast, we have Haley here, who is with Business Financial Solutions. She has some amazing knowledge all about getting your business financially stable and like growing and goal setting. And she is like the numbers queen, and I love it. Numbers, if you don't know yet, are kind of my jam. So I'm super excited to have her on the show and give you guys a little bit of a kick in the pants to get your shit together.
Welcome. Hi.
How are you doing?
Thank you so much for having me on, ladies.
We're super excited. Haley is hashtag team TCC lover, podcast lover, all things TCC. So we're super excited to have one of our own here on the show to chat about sexy, sexy numbers.
Yeah. So let's jump into it quickly and talk to these people about before we lose them.
And they're like, numbers, I'm out.
Why does someone need to keep track of them? Why should someone care? And how, like, what's your, like, knowledge bomb on that?
Mm-hmm.
So I always say this, and it's kind of like what kind of breaks you in the face. If you are not aware of what your numbers are telling you, and you're not aware of what's going on with your business financially, and I'm sorry to say it, but you're an employee of your business, and you're just not the boss. That's it. Simple.
Oh.
Because if you have no idea and you need somebody to like tell you, an actual employee of your business, to tell you, hey, this is what's going on, then where's your credibility? So I never want that for anyone that I work with. And I'm always like, you need to know. So I don't just do it for you, but I empower you for you to know. And you go to a sales meeting and you're like in front of your employees or whatever, even if you're just you, you know, you got to know when you talk to your clients too. And it's like you have that confidence with you that you know what you're saying. You know what I mean?
Well, and I think so many times, because we've worked with our own students through crunching the numbers and doing the math and understanding what your business is doing. But I think like so many creatives especially are like, okay, but like I might know how I can get some of those numbers. I might know how I can do some of that math, but even still looking at it, I don't really know what it's telling me in my business. So can you walk us through what are some of the like major numbers that people could be crunching in their business that can give them what type of information about what they can do?
Yeah. So a lot of times people look at statements and they're like, oh, they're pretty easy to find out. Like for instance, the profit and loss is pretty, you know, self-explanatory. You're like, okay, this is what I made. This is how much expenses. Okay, this is my bottom line type of thing. But then from there, what do you do? Like, what do you do with that bottom line? It's not what you want. How do you set up strategies for that? You know, how do you know if it's time to, you know, revamp your whole site, come up with a brand new package? You know, what do you do if it's time to I don't know, reach out to a brand new set of audience, you know, you're like, oh, I've never tried this, but maybe I should do this. What if you want to do an ebook, you know, or a course or something like that? And it's time to do like some passive income. What do you do? How do you determine that? You know, it's more or less, it's not so much understanding what the report is telling you. Cause I think like a lot of people, you know, as we're in business, you kind of find out and you're like, oh, okay, this is what it means. But afterwards, what do you do with information? So that next month is not the same. And the month after that, and the month after that, you know? So a lot of times that's where people fail. And that's why they're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know. I'll just sell more. And it's like, yeah, but that's not the full strategy.
So what are some examples of things that you've helped specifically your creative clients? Like, okay, you get the numbers and what do you do? How do you help them come up with a plan of action? What are some of those answers of what you could do and some of your common scenarios that you've seen your own clients go through?
Okay, so I actually had a client lately and he's like a videographer and then he does website design and then he does logo. He does like a whole bunch of things. And as a matter of fact, it's a really good example because a lot of the creatives that I come across, they're like multi-passionate and they do a whole bunch of things. And it's like, you know, you have to kind of see what's working and what's not. And so we met and we spoke it out and we said, okay, what of these things are you like completely passionate about? What's going to, you know, what you're going to make work? And so we took everything that he had and we made it into, these are going to be the packages and these are going to be the hourly rates and these are going to be this. So it's like a package structure. We took out everything else that even the numbers were telling us that it wasn't profitable. Like, I'm like, you're throwing money at this, but it's just, it's not good. Like, your numbers are telling you it's not there. So he's no longer doing that. You know, if somebody comes around and asks him to do it and whatever, he'll do it, but it's not something he's advertising. If you don't know him, you would not know, you know? So it's things like that, that a lot of times we have way too many packages or we have way too many products, way too many services, you know, and I like what you guys said. Like, I was listening to a podcast you guys were doing and you said, like, you either want to be like Chipotle or you want to be like this other thing. And then I'm like,
the Cheesecake Factory.
What's going on here?
Yeah. Chipotle simple, guys.
Keep it simple. Yeah. I love that. And I think that's the plight of every creative. We get married to our products. We get attached to these things. They're our babies, right? Like, we craft them sometimes with our own hands and blood, sweat, and tears, or our minds and all of these things. And I think sometimes a lot of us are really afraid to look at these numbers because what if the numbers do tell us that that thing's not profitable? What if it does tell me that I'm spending money over here just to keep this thing listed, but no one really wants it? So how do you recommend people kind of go through that, like, but I still really like it and I still want to offer it. Even if it's not profitable, I'm still going to offer it. Like, how do you walk people through that concept?
So I kind of have a way of thinking about it. So I do all the financials like on my own and then I like sit with them and I show them. And so I say, okay, this is how much is, you know, if this is how much you're paying to keep this alive. And this is how much you could actually be investing into this other project. And so what is it going to cost you? You know, if you're throwing $1,000 and you're always losing, and I make like that little chart where it's like visible right on your face, you can't deny it, you know? And then I'm like, okay, so if you want to continue, then this is what's going to happen down the road. Because I already see it going that way because that's what, you know, it's just happening already. It's not like all of a sudden it's just going to pick up and sales. Like, it just,
that's not how that works.
No, you have to be able to see the sales trends. So I do that and I make it very visual. I don't just show you like a report with numbers. I show you like graphs. If you want pie, I give you pie graphs.
You want pies? I got you pies.
You know, I'll make it into a donut for you. So it's very graphic for you to like not deny it and not just see a number and say, oh, that's $1,000. No, you see, like, is this where my business is going? Downhill.
I think so many people, and I would love to say that, like, a lot of people are doing profit and loss statements.
I think no one. Hardly no one is doing them.
I think there is a very, very small number. Very small number of people who are actually creating these, who are actually looking at their financial statements. I will say that I didn't even know what one was. With the business background, let's keep that in mind. I went to business school in addition to fine art school. Let's keep in mind the majority of it was fine art. So
let's be real here.
Let's give me a little bit of a break. But I didn't even really know what a profit and loss statement meant or how it could help me until I was introduced to it by Parker, our bookkeeper. And that was just in January.
Yeah.
And so we had already built a six-figure business without ever looking at a profit and loss statement. So I'm sure there's a lot of small business owners that are like, well, if they can do it and never look at this statement, why do I even need to bother?
We could have made much more strategic decisions right off the bat instead of waiting a year. Like, took us, like, literally, we're in the process right now of, after a few months of seeing our profit and loss statement, seeing one little shiny program be this, like, shining star every single month without us even having to do anything. And so we were like, okay, if it's doing that amazing job on its own, I wonder what it could do if we actually tried. And so we're literally 8 months into seeing those reports from him and finally, like, making a game plan to be strategic about something. But I think that's what it's all about. It's just seeing the things that, yes, you can cut the crap, you can trim the fat, you can be the Chipotle, but also I bet there's some stuff that you're probably ignoring. We're not being as strategic as you could to make it go even better.
So tell people, because I just don't think, like, even though you're like, it's so basic, but no, seriously, like let's break it down. If someone wanted to create one for themselves, or they were just like getting started, what sort of things do they need to be keeping track of in order to make this financial statement even possible?
Yeah, so you know what most of the times is a problem? It's the fact that to begin with, like, a lot of times people think, like, oh, it's just a statement. But to begin with, your financials are not even in order from the start. So I actually created this, like, financial checklist, like, over on my site or whatever, that, like, outlines, like, the steps, like, where you should start. Like, spoiler alert, number one is get a business account. That's it.
What?
There is no way for you to run any type of statement combining your business and your personal. No. No way.
Yep.
At all.
Yep.
Yeah.
Get that shit separate.
For real. Get it done. Like, it's got to be separate. And then there's, like, no accounting software. Like, I don't know. There's so many options out there. There's so
I wish you could see your face right now. She's just like, you guys, get it together.
No, it's just, I don't know what it's so hard about getting on QuickBooks or Xerox or FreshBooks or Wave or whatever you want to use.
Wave is free, you guys. Wave is free. Go set it up. It can connect with your checking account, your business savings, all the things. It's so easy. I did it. I even did that when I was like, numbers.
Exactly. It's so easy. Like, I don't know what is the struggle to get, like, on one of those things. Like, you can't even say it's money because it's free. It's like, which one? So that's the thing. It's the fact that you can't pull reports if you have nothing of that, like, you know, like, set up at first. And some people are like, oh, I'll just do it on an Excel sheet. That is a lot of work when there is a little program out there that can literally do it for you. And I am all about, like, streamlining and, like, cut down and don't do any focus on what you really want to do. And so I'm, like, completely against spreadsheets. I use them for certain things, but not for that.
Sure.
Like,
Haley, where were you the first several years of my business?
She was Excel spreadsheeting our life.
I wasted so much time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So much time doing it manually.
Yeah. And now Parker does it into QuickBooks for us and spits out these beautiful numbers, and I just lay on the floor.
It's true. She gets overwhelmed and lays on the floor. So, like, okay,
business account.
Your business account. You got your numbers in an accounting software.
Go get Wave because it's free.
What? Yeah.
So after that, you want to look at them and you want to be able to at least understand them. If you don't understand them, call me. That's it. Because if you don't even understand them, then there's just, what else can I tell you? You know, where are you from there? And so let's say that you do understand them, on the other hand. And so you're like, okay, this is that, whatever the case may be. And then you're like, what am I going to do? So you need to think about, what does it tell you? If you're under, then you need to begin to think about strategies. Are you going to do, you know, what is it that's wrong? I'll take you over to my own example, because I like to, you know, I think that you have to lead by example. And so I'll take you over to mine. So I have my own boss day. So I like look through my own numbers and my own strategies and everything like that. And so I have goals of where I want to be every month because I don't want to be an employee of my business. I want to be the boss. So I set goals every single month of where I want to be. And so they're always higher and higher and higher. So I looked at those and I said, okay, last month, this is where I end up. And then I was like, okay, this month I want to be here. So I looked at what was going on. And one of the things was my site. And so I literally got on my graphic designer and I was like, hey, I need a brand new site and it needs to be like thebomb.com. So I was like, I'm going to do all the sales copy and the, you know, package and everything like that. But I need you to do like some crazy design that aligns with who I am and with my business. You know, I'm not going to be like all rainbows because obviously there's a seriousness to what I do, but it still has to, you know, be me. And so that's what we're working on. And so now it's going to be like this whole brand new site, brand new package, brand new everything, because I saw that that was the pinpoint of like the pain point of what was going on. And I was like, okay, I need to see. If this doesn't work, then you go and you do something else. If it increases, but it's not good enough, then you go and you do something else. You find out what else. How is my marketing doing? You know, that Facebook on Fleek Week, oh my gosh. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, my gosh. If you don't know what we're talking about, you just got to go back and listen to a couple episodes about Facebook.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah. So I can't give you like a cut answer because every business is so different.
Right.
And what may be, you know, for you, maybe a website. Like for me, maybe a website. But for you, maybe your marketing, like Facebook. You
know? Right.
Or something. Well, it may be something else.
I love how you broke that down because I think what people do when they're, even if they're tracking the numbers and they've got the software and they're just not looking at them and they're not understanding, I think what happens is, okay, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing right now and it's making my product, it's selling it, I see sales coming in, everything's good. But if you haven't set the goals, if you don't know where the traffic's coming from, if you don't know what strategy you think you could try to tackle to move that forward, you're not going to be doing anything. And so I think people, A, don't even sit down and break it out to like, okay, where is the money coming from literally? So where should I put my attention? But they're also like, okay, but I need to be doing marketing and redo my website and blog and do social media. And I need to do that every single month, every month. But we're asking you to literally just focus on one technique, one strategy at a time. Some of those things, yes, you have to keep like the balls in the air. Like you can't go ghost on Instagram just because you're working on your website. But like that, just because you're posting on Instagram doesn't mean that you're like diving into the strategy of Instagram this month. You're just keeping it afloat and you're just staying present. But just pour your attention into the thing that your business needs you to do right then and there. Tackle it. Move on to the next thing.
I think so often people just forget the obvious. They forget that, you know, if you put time and energy into something, it will grow. Like, it will prosper. But if you put it on the back burner. So, like, literally, if you ignore the financial side of your business and you don't want to touch it and you continue to ignore it, it's going to suffer.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%. And so, like, the more aware you are of where you're at, then you can be, okay, now I have this knowledge and I'm armed and equipped to take this and run with it and put time into one strategy. And I think so often we've been rewarded with taking time to just implement one thing versus we spent so long trying to implement 5 million things at once and they only half worked. And when we started implementing one thing at a time, like for instance, when we implemented Facebook ads,
right,
we were just implementing Facebook ads and that's all we were implementing. And the results were astonishing because that was where our time, energy, and focus was at.
Yeah, well, and it was because literally we were able to see from the reports and the numbers, like, okay, we do have some cushion to play around, to put money into our marketing, to pay for advertising. We have that now. Let's do it strategically so we can get that return. We ended up getting a massive return, so that was obviously super beneficial. But, like, if you don't even know if you have some extra cash laying around in your business to invest back in your business to grow it, you're just going to be stuck doing the same things that you're doing this month, month over month, that might not move you forward.
Exactly. And that's why I say, like, you're either an employee or you're either the boss. Like, that's it.
Yep.
You know, you either take and you run with it, or you're just day to day and you sell and you do this. And a lot of times what I have come across too, it's that sometimes they're like, you guys said, oh, I'm selling. Oh, I'm doing this. You know, what's the problem? Like, what's going on? And so the thing is that if you don't have a system in place, then that's all you're going to do. So with my clients, what I do is that if you are like already making money and you're already good and you know all of that stuff, yes, I go over that, but I don't focus so much on that. I focus more on streamlining and setting a process. So I don't know if you've heard of the Profit First book. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So I use that same system in my business and in the clients that I work with. Obviously, you get there, you know, because you can't start like right away. So I do that where we began to set accounts so that you have an account for your profit and you have an account for your savings. You know, like you guys said, oh, I have a little bit of cushion so I can invest in this. You know, I don't like to keep everything in one account because I truly believe in that system. And I truly believe that if you keep everything there, then there's no way for you to like say, okay, this is for my operating expense. This is for investing. This is for this. This is for that. So I really like to break it up. And my clients like it too when they like, at first they're like, four accounts. What? But when they see like, you know, the mechanism of it and they're like, oh, okay, this is good. You know, I know I have this much that it's completely operating. So I know that that's what I use to run my business. And then they're like, okay, I know this is how much I have for investing. It's not like they have to take it out of their operating and all of a sudden they're like, well, if I invest in this, then I can't really pay for my Gmail, you know, or my website or this or that. So that takes it out of that. And it's good because it's a system that you can keep in place. And there's even like an account that I set up for like tax preparation. So as the year goes by, you're constantly like preparing for tax season. So that at the end of the day, you're not like, I literally had a client that was like, well, yeah, I know how much I made because obviously my taxes. And I was like, cool. I'm like, that's not what you want exactly. Like, you want to know, you know, throughout the year where you're going, how much you're going to have to pay, you know, like all of these things. You don't want to just find out right there and then, you know, that's
trust me, writing a fat check to the tax man is not fun at all. I did that last year. Oh my God.
Well, paying quarterly taxes, and now that you have a baby, it's just so much better for you.
You're right.
And now that we're on a payroll system and paying on a monthly basis, I think it's really helped with our
taxes.
Can't
wait for that tax credit. Thanks, Penelope.
You suck.
Appreciate it.
There you go.
But it's just funny because I think you can live so unaware about all of these things. And if you don't really dive into it and really know what you need to be doing, like, I think people can get so stuck.
Yeah. I think something else that it's really unique that you help your clients work through, and part of this numbers and understanding what they mean and what you can do in your business is answering the question of, should I raise my prices? And I think you help your people through that decision and help them with the strategy. So talk to us a little bit about how that works and how there's a strategy behind increasing your prices and knowing when you're ready to do that.
Want to learn exactly step-by-step how to get paid to generate leads in your business? I've kept these details to myself for far too long. I'm ready to spill everything and give you the exact steps that help me generate tens of thousands of qualified leads and millions in low-ticket digital product sales. I won't just show you what I did, but teach you how you can do it too. I'm talking not just how to create low-ticket digital products, but also showing you how to use them strategically to generate leads for your other existing or future offers. I'm sharing it all at bossproject.com/jumpstart, including exactly how I made $8,033 and generated 277 leads my very first month selling digital products. Find out more at bossproject.com/jumpstart. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. I love that Indeed makes it easy to hire because I'm busy enough already. When we've hired in the past, the process was full of unqualified applicants. With Indeed, we can target the right candidates for the right position. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/strategy hour. Just go to Indeed.com/strategy hour right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/strategy hour. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Money issues are a common stressor in any relationship. Monarch Money is the top-rated personal finance app that can get you and your partner on the same page without any extra cost. Monarch has built-in collaboration features, so together you can see your finances, budget, and get insights on your cash flow. It's the easiest way to manage any household finances. I've tried other finance apps in the past, and they didn't work the way I wanted them to. I don't want to stress over finances. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/strategy. Monarch has a tool that allows you to easily import your data from Mint and keep all of your tags and categories. Monarch's simple, intuitive design makes it so easy to get set up, customize, and use. Monarch prioritizes my privacy, and they'll never sell my data to third parties. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/strategy. That's monarchmoney.com/strategy for your extended 30-day free trial.
So part of my all-inclusive package is exactly that. So it's either setting up your prices from the very beginning, or if you already have prices, we could either raise them or see where they stand, or, you know, because a lot of times people think, oh, I'm just going to raise my prices and that's going to solve it. That's going to bring me more money. But you got to really consider everything that's going on. And like I said, that may not be the pain point. Mm-hmm. You know, it may be completely something different. There may not be a need for you to actually increase your prices. So we go through all that analysis as well. But when it comes to raising prices and when it comes even to setting them up, I always say pricing is like two components, and there's always something about it because it's always going to continue to evolve. You have to keep an eye on it. It's not like you just set it and then that's it, you know? Because for one, you have to look inwards. I always say that. You have to look inwards, which means you have to look at your costs. A lot of times I hear people talk about prices and they're like, oh, you just do market research and you just see what people are going to pay for it or whatever. And it's like, not exactly. Because nope. If you are going to do market research, and around, you know, the location where you are or whatever, they sell it at this price, but that doesn't even cover your cost. Mm-hmm. That's a problem.
Yep.
Or if people are only willing to pay this much, that's a problem. So then what you need to focus on is why your prices are where they're at, which is more than what the regular would be. But then that has to give you like that prestige or that like differentiator, you know, that you're just better because you do it this way or because mm-hmm. you offer this instead, you know? So first you look inwards, you look at your cost, and you consider everything. You consider, how, you know, even the smallest thing, like even if you make cakes. I don't care if it's 0.5 cents for flour. I don't care. You got to put everything in there.
Yep.
They're like, oh, eggs is only like $2. I don't care.
Add it. You need to put it in the mm-hmm. mix of it.
Yep.
And think about it. Well, and also I think so often people are so used to looking at pricing based on like regionally what's happening. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes these people have a reach that's far beyond
yep.
where they live. And granted, you mentioned cakes. And so a cake maker,
you might not be shipping a cake from Kansas City to Canada. So like, let's be real.
That's just different. You have to be aware of your local market if you make cakes or if you're a florist or if you're a wedding planner because mm-hmm. that's a local-based business. But if you have the ability to ship to anywhere or work with people online, you can work with the global economy, not mm-hmm. necessarily based on what Podunk, Tennessee is doing.
Right, right.
And so I think there's just so much untapped potential there.
Yeah. Well, and literally, like, even if you're a local market, I was strongly, strongly against looking at what your competitors in your local market are charging. As a photographer in my previous business, I was local. I didn't really travel for shoots. So I was looking at the Tulsa, Oklahoma market and surrounding cities. And the income is not high there. The cost of living is super low. But if I could convince people the value of what I was selling them was worth the premium experience, they would spend anything for it. And so I'm one of those people who is like, honestly, look at your local market last and look at what other people are doing last, because if anything, they're going to be telling you to lowball. And if you could up the value of your experience and what you can give, you can charge whatever you want.
Yeah. And it reminds me of an episode I heard from you guys that, you know, you don't know if that person is a medical, like doctor, let's say. And so they don't really care about this side hustle. And so they're like, oh, whatever, it's extra money for Facebook.
Exactly.
You know? Or if it's like a single mom trying to raise her kids, and this is like legit their bloodline, you know, like that's it. This is everything they have. So that's why, yes, I'm extremely cautious about looking at that. That's why first look inwards. Look at you, what your business, you know, what you stand for, what makes you different, what your cost is, like all these things, you know, it's really a moment for you to look inwards and say, okay, this is what it's going to be. Once you have that, because I think that it also doesn't, it creates less of a fuzz for you to be looking around and say, oh, this is how much. Okay, then I'm going to raise it to this. Then I'm going to lower it to that. You know, if you just concentrate on you, then you know your worth. And a lot of people lack that. A lot of people, they're like, oh, it's just the price. No. It's not just the price. It's your worth. It's what comes with it, you know? You're either going to pay for a Mercedes or you're going to pay for, I don't know, a Toyota, you know? Not that there's anything wrong with a Toyota or a Mercedes, but I'm saying, like, I don't know, well, it's a McDonald's there.
Yeah, no, I feel you. And it's just about attracting different people. Like, you have the power of bringing anyone in your door that could pay any price point. You set it based off what you need, and then that determines then who you are attracting. It's the budget people or it's the premium experience people. It's up to you at the end of the day.
Exactly. Yeah, it's so true. And so you look inwards and then you look outwards, but you don't look outwards, you know, and do that market research and do those questions on Facebook groups and all this thing. You don't do that so that it's like a deal breaker for you.
Right.
Kind of like just so that you are aware, just so that you are not ignorant, you know, of all these things going on around you. But it's not going to be like a deal breaker for you to be like, okay, it's going to go from $10 to $50 or vice versa.
Right.
Go from $50
right.
to $50. You know?
So yeah, I love those when people come into groups and they're like, I want to create this thing. What would you pay for it? You're going to get every different answer. Those people might not even want your thing, care about your thing, or need your thing, but they might want to tell you how much they'd pay for it, hypothetically. And it's those type of posts where I'm like, oh, don't rely on that to be your deciding factor about what you decide your worth is and where your business is going to be.
Yeah. Whenever I see those, I always answer like that. I'm always like, okay, well, pricing, regardless of what everyone else is paying, I'm going to give my answer as a financial consultant. This is what it is.
Exactly.
And they're like, all I get is like one like. I'm like, well, if you don't like the tool.
You're like, oh, I tried to help you. Well, speaking of mistakes, what are some other things you can kind of round us out with of mistakes that you see your clients make, people making online regarding financial decisions or strategy in their small business?
Okay. So number one mistake, they don't have a business account.
Get that, guys. It's free. Shop around at different banks. If they try to charge you to open an account, say, I'm going to go somewhere else. It's free. Get it today. Go do it right now.
Yeah. And then they don't have a system, like, you know, an accounting software system either. So
wait, it's free.
Yeah, we're just offering free sources right here.
Here you go. You're welcome, guys.
So those are the two most common. But then once they get past that, then you find people that avoid looking at their financials, and that's a huge mistake. Like I always say, just because you don't look at your bank account, like even just bringing it personal, it doesn't mean you can keep swiping, because that's so think of it. You can't just keep like not knowing and just be like, oh, I made one sale, I made three, I made, oh, I know I have money in there, go on,
it's fine.
No, because a lot of times, and it goes back to having the accounting software, don't go by what your bank is saying. That's another huge mistake. Don't go by what your bank is saying, because your bank may say $5,000, but you might forget, or you may have a partner, you know, who wrote out a check or whatever, and it hasn't hit the bank yet, and you go and you make, you know, an investment, or you buy something, or whatever the case may be, and then that's going to overdraw your account. So that's why you have that accounting and software. The moment you write a check, you put it in there, and then you're like, okay, this is how much I have. You know, go by accounting. When I work corporate, I always heard that from my boss. It was like, don't look at the bank account. I was like, okay.
Okay, sorry. Well, and my tip on that is, if you do have a partner or someone that you make business money spending decisions with, decide before you even spend money together, what is your agreed upon limit that you need to check in with the other person for? Mm-hmm. I do this in my marriage and I do this in my business marriage. And we have a number that's like, if it's above that, we need to talk about it, because then everyone's aware, like, of what's coming out of the bank at all times.
Exactly.
And no one's surprised.
Right.
When they look at the credit card statement, and they're not like, what did you buy?
Exactly.
Exactly. So that's another one as well. And then I think not setting goals, it's another one. Like, yeah. I remember a client I had, and I remember telling her, like, okay, so where do you want to be, you know, like 6 months from now or whatever? And it was actually at the beginning of the year. So I was like, okay, so June and then December, you know? And so I'm like, where mm-hmm. do you want to be by June? And where do you want to be by December? And her goals were just like, I want to make like $50,000 a year. I was like, okay, calm down. That's not what I meant. I meant, like, I want to make this much per month, or I want to have this many clients, like, actual, you know, realistic goals that we can plan.
Attainable goals that you can measure.
Exactly. And so a lot of times, you either don't set at all, or if you set, you set them wrong, because you set them, like, up there, I'm going to make $20,000 a week.
Right. Well, like, well, how are you going to get there? Right.
Yeah, and then they're like, I don't know. It's just going to happen. I'm just going to sell. It's like, they don't just sell themselves. You know, it involves marketing. You know, it involves so many other things. Like, you got to find a strategy up in here.
Well, and it's funny that you bring that up, because that's how we used to set goals. Literally, we would like look at the whole year. We would do it in December for the coming year. We'd say, okay, next December, like, how much do we want to make? And then we would backtrack. Okay. Quarter three, how can that help that happen? Quarter two, quarter one. And so we were kind of doing it, kind of not, but it was really just in the last couple of days where we're like, okay, like, we've hit our financial milestones in our business, and we keep doing that, like, pat on the backs, like, brag town. Sorry, guys, thanks. Letting me humble brag a little bit. And we keep hitting those, which is fantastic. Okay, so now let's look at it and be like, okay, if we want to make that much money, that's great. How is it actually going to be divided up in our business? Like, what percentage is going to bring in the bulk of the income? What other income revenue stream do we need to bring in to make up some of that? And I think those are those more strategic boss decisions, where we're able to, like, be CEOs again and be like, let's kind of bucket this out and then make the game plan to make those buckets reach their goals that we've set for them.
Well, and the hard thing with goals is sometimes you do have to guess at the beginning.
Absolutely.
Because you don't always have the data to start with. But the more you track it and the more you get information, like us setting, I want this to make up this percentage of our business. Up until now, we've done zero tracking to know how much of our business is evergreen versus how much of it is
live
launches. Uh-huh. And so now going into next year, that is probably going to be something that we very actively track.
Yeah.
But it's just, you have to go into it knowing, okay, if I'm not actively tracking that and that is something I'm working towards, then obviously you got to write the shit down and put it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now that you mentioned that, it's so good, because I remember having a client who had like 5 services. And so within that niche that she's in, I'm usually seeing 3. So I was like, this is weird. Why does she have 5? Because I ask a lot of questions. I literally, like, I go to the meet and greet and I'm like, why? Like, I literally, like, I don't know. I ask so many questions because I want to know. I want to know. And I want your answers to be solid, and I want them to be, like, substantial. So I looked at it. I was doing the reports. I was doing the projections. And that's what scooped me, that I was doing reports and projections. And I was like, these are going this way. These are going that way. I was like, what's going on here? So I got on a phone call with her and I said, okay, first thing I want to ask you is, why do you have 5 services? I just want to know. Like, tell me. And then she began to tell me, and I was like, okay, now I see why you have this one. Now I see why you have that one. And I say that because it's not like I'm going to question you for you to, like, I'm not going to make you change. You know, at the end of the day, you're the boss right. of your business. I don't just come in and be the boss. But I want to make sure mm-hmm. that you know, and that you, when I show you the numbers, you're going to be remembered of what you told me, of why you had those services, and then if the numbers are going to support it or not. So she told me, and I was like, okay, well, then yeah. if you are so strong in keeping these, then this is what you need to work on, because look at these sales. Look at where they're going. Now, look at this brand new package. Like, she had just mm-hmm. released a brand new product. I think it was an ebook or something like that. And I said, look at this one. You released it and you already have like 7 sold copies within like the first week or first day or something like that. I'm not sure what it was. And I was like, this is one that you really want to, you know, now you're in that stage that you are like pre-selling and you're trying to launch this new thing. You want to give it your all. Like, you want to market the heck out of it. You want, I'm going to do a marketing budget for you. We're going to work on this, you know? And so then we looked at the other 4 and I said, okay, of these 4, these are your standard 3. This is what you should have. And this is the other one that's like, eh.
So, maybe I can go.
Yes. So that's the thing. It's sometimes you have to really look at where, like you guys are saying, what is giving you the most income? Is it evergreen? Is it this? Mm-hmm. Is it that? Especially when you have so many streams of income within a single business, you got to know. Because when it comes to investing money into something, why are you going to invest money into something that's like dead, you know, unless you like truly, truly believe on it. And then I still caution you. But yeah, I would still caution you. But
Haley's going to come and be like, okay, but why?
But, you know, you want to invest in those other things that are really coming alive, that people are really saying, I want, you know, like you want to see that supply and demand and you want to give it your all. So
yeah,
I commend you girls for doing that. That's, when you do that, you're going to be like, because you'll be amazed that the things you think that are selling most and the things that you're like, oh, yeah, I know, we sell that like crazy. And you're like, because you might have that one product that you just launched or that one thing that just came out or whatever. And that may already be like up there in the sky. So yeah. I totally recommend doing that, especially if.
Well, and I think it's important to remember also, and we've had to remind this to ourselves, is that when you go back and you are a year into business of tracking your numbers and you're a year and a half and you're 2 years and whatever, don't fall into the mistake of comparing your most recent success with like something that maybe you haven't launched in over a year.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're launching to a completely different audience with a completely different budget, with a completely different product. And so don't just cut something for the sake of like, well, that did shit over a year ago. Give it a revamp, relaunch it, do something with it, and then really compare the data with your fresh audience. Because, oh my gosh, the rate that business changes and your audience changes and like what's happening out there in the creative world or wherever you're selling, like, it's really hard to compare apples to oranges like that.
Well, and I think there's so often where we've like, almost like given up on something uh-huh. and it was just like with just a few tweaks and putting a little more time and energy into it, it's an asset. You built this thing, you made this thing. If you can market it, if you can get it out there. I'm not saying there aren't things worth giving up, because there's definitely things
we've given up stuff. Yeah,
but there's often things that you just didn't necessarily put the time or attention on it. And that's mm-hmm. why it's suffering. It's not because it sucks. It's not because your audience doesn't want it. It's because you don't tell anybody it exists.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I can name a handful of stuff like that.
Nodding, nodding. That's all I can say, because it's true. That's why it's not just a cut and dry answer. It's not like just cut it. That's why I say I ask a lot of questions and I'm always like, why? Because I want you to be like stern and focused, you know, like Abigail just say, some things you just need to give it love to and then like market the junk out of it and then it'll work. You know?
Yeah.
So it's not just like, well.
Market the junk out of it. That's my new phrase.
Market the junk out of it.
You know, so it's not just I'm going to come in there and tell you this number sucks. No, we're going to go deeper than the numbers, you know, which is why, you know, I think that makes me a little bit different from like a CPA and a bookkeeper, because I actually ask the right questions, or like try to at least. and kind of like go even beyond the numbers. I know I'm a financial consultant, but some things are not just numbers, and some things you need to like go deep within and say, okay, what's going on here? You know, like you said, you got to compare. When was the last time we like market this? And when was the last time that we did this and we did that, you know, because all those things will affect sales. It's not just looking at a report and saying, well, your sales dropped. Okay, so why did they drop? You know, I remember this one client, she had no sales for 1 month, but then she had sales this month, this month, this month, every other month. And I was like, this is odd. So I was like, can I ask you something? She's like, well, you're going to ask anyways. I'm like, cool. I'm like, okay, so you have no sales this month. I want to know why. What happened? Is it something in your personal life? Was it something in your partnership? Because they were a partnership also, like you guys. So I was like, what's going on? So I know you guys understand because I've listened to the podcast. So you know what I mean. So I was like, what's going on here? So she told me we were doing a revamp. We were changing our prices. We signed on with this thing and this and that. And so many things were going on that they just didn't have any time, and some things in their personal life too. And so I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. So what we need to do is set up a plan for another month like that, so that you guys still sell and so that the business doesn't suffer, because your bills were still there. You still had to pay Squarespace. You still had to pay QuickBooks, you know?
Automation, baby.
Yep.
Yeah, all about it. So we should move into talk strategy to me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go back to it. And I want to know, and this isn't necessarily something we talked about, but like, besides like getting your numbers in the system, what are 3 to 5 like particular things that someone should look for in their financials and start looking at on a monthly basis?
Okay. So first, you should be looking at your financials like monthly, you know, at least designate one day. I know you guys have it, you know, and I think it's great. I think everybody should. That one day where you look at your financials, it could either be at the beginning of the month or at the end of the month. I would say beginning or end, because if you look at them at the middle, that's a little weird. But do like beginning or end, you know, and look at them. And then once you do, look at, you know, your revenue. And if you guys have different products, look at, you know, if you have it set up in your books, which, you know, I think you guys will have it by then. If you do like your sales by item, you know which one is performing best, so that you don't just look at the total sale. So very important. Don't just look at the total sale. Don't just get fixated on that top line. You know, look at everything. Look at the little numbers. See which one's the lowest. You know, see which one is the highest. Which one's in the middle? You know, do you have too many products? You know, do you have too many services? Mm-hmm. Look at your expenses. That would be number 2. Look at your expenses. Because sometimes I really believe in a lean startup, because the less money that you put towards expense, is more money that you can have for yourself.
Yes.
And that you can have even to invest in something that really, really needs it, you know? Like, for instance, if you have a lot of expenses and then something like what just came around this past week, you know, with Facebook, everything. Hello, if that comes around and you have a whole bunch of expenses and you can invest into that, which is a big investment right there, and not just like, oh, $10 a month, then that's an alert. You have way too many expenses, you know? And so bring it down, because right now you're like, oh, it's just every month, it's just this. No. If you could do less than $100, you're golden, you know? So I even have that way in my business, and I even have it, you know, even when my clients are going to invest into a new system or a new thing or a new monthly thing or whatever, I'm like, okay, do you really need this? Like, is it going to break it or make it for your business? So before you invest, look at your current and really ask yourself, do you need it or not? Is it something that you're just getting, you know, what is going to be the benefit? Just some kind of pros and cons for the price and then the benefit of it, you know? And then most importantly is that bottom line. That's what you want to focus on. Forget the top line. You know, it's not just like, oh, I made $20,000. Okay, but of that $20,000, how much did you really, you know? And so it's like, look at that bottom line and say, okay, this is too low or this is too high, you know? Or maybe you don't even know, you know, but at least you should know. You should know if it's too low, especially if it's under. That's a huge red flag. That's icky. And then if it's under, you got to see why. Is it your sales? Or is it too many expenses? You know, what is it exactly? So that's as far as the profit and loss, which I think it's like the most, you know, with every business I've worked on, we did look at some balance sheets, but that's like a whole other like arena over there. And so to go into that, it would take forever and ever. But if you at least understand your profit and loss, your P&L, then you should be okay. That's really where you gotta start.
That's where we spend the bulk of our meetings with partners. So
yeah, exactly. Because that's what matters most. The balance sheet, it's important, but for other things, not for the day-to-day. You don't want to know that for the day-to-day running or for making decisions. Right. That won't help you that much. You know, that's for something else.
Awesome. Well, thank you. That was a lot of great information.
Yeah, well, tell us where people can hang out with you online.
Cool. So online, you can find me on cuttingedgefinancialsolutions.com. And on Facebook, Cutting Edge, Instagram, Cutting Edge Financial Solutions. And yeah, that's it.
Thank you so much for coming on, babe.
Thank you so much for having me, babe.
Looking to elevate your brand without the headache? Join the Co-op, our creative template shop membership. With thousands of easy to customize templates, all crafted to seamlessly fit your business aesthetics. We make nurturing leads and driving sales effortless. We're talking serious impact and seriously simple creation. Become a member now at creativeshopcoop.com and transform your business today. That's creativeshopcoop.com. Hey, a few quick favors before you leave. I'd love if you'd share today's episode, send it to a friend who needs to hear it, and post on social. You can show us where you're listening from, your favorite takeaway, or why someone else should listen. Be sure to tag me at Abigail Says and at Boss Project so we can share it. Okay, second favor, to get podcast updates and all the behind the scenes news from Boss Project, I'd love if you'd join my VIP list. Just head to bossproject.com/signup to make sure I have all your contact details. Really love the show? It would mean so much to me if you'd leave a rating and review. It not only helps more listeners find the show, but allows us to bring on quality sponsors so we can keep bringing you this valuable content for free. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.